Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready, today we'll be in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We'll continue our series of Grow Up, Follower of Christ. Today we'll be looking at, are you longing or craving Christ and His Word? Here is the first half of this two-part study. So last week we spent some time on putting away relational sin. And we talked about putting away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. And the reason why we talked about putting away relational sins is he's like, if you're going to love each other in Christ, right? If you're going to love each other in Christ, you have to put away these sins. If not, these sins are going to keep you from working as a body of Christ. These sins will actually destroy your marriage and your family if you allow these things to happen. So he's saying before you even start to long for the pure spiritual milk, these sins need to be put away. So if you have any malice towards somebody, some of you may have malice, somebody hurt you when you were 10, a teacher or something, you know, let that go. You need to ask for forgiveness, give that over to God, have the Lord help you with that. If you struggle with deceit, time to stop lying, right? You know, treat, like if you run a business, do it the correct way. Do the things that you're called to do as a Christian without deceit. Hypocrisy is a huge problem. We spoke about that. We put the mask on or we act a certain way at church and then the other 166 hours were a mess. And then that's why they look at you on the outside and they go, there goes those Christians, hypocrites. And then we also have envy. We get envious of titles and money that other people have or things that they have, and you get envious of it to the point where you get angry and it takes root in your heart. And then he says slander, because when you start getting envy, the next thing you do is you start slandering. And so all these things, he's saying, these are relational sins. All these things need to be put away. And then he tells you, you need to long for the pure spiritual milk. But he tells you something very important in verse 2, like newborn infants. Like newborn infants. And I love this because what Peter is talking about is he's actually quoting Isaiah 28 verse 9. Isaiah 28 verse 9 says, to whom will he teach knowledge? To whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from the milk, those taken from the breast. The thing that we remember is that Peter is writing to the Jews that have been exiled. They're in Turkey, right? And they've lost everything. They've either been kicked out of their families because they're following the way. They've either had a loved one killed because they were following the way. They've lost their employment because they were following the way. Like they're in exile in a country without anything. And Peter is telling them, like, hey, you are to look for spiritual matters. And he's not talking about them being newborn infants. He's talking about them as spiritual matters. As a Christian, we should actually hunger the way a baby hungers for the pure spiritual milk, which is the Word of God. And we're going to spend all next week on the pure spiritual milk. Because you will not grow up. And this is why pastors tell you over and over and over, you need to be in the Word of God.
Period. You won't grow up without it. How do you know the will of God if you're not in the Word of God? And that's what happens is a lot of people will come to faith and they'll stay newborn infants and they never grow because they're not in God's Word. They're being led by their emotions and feelings and allowing the tide to take them wherever they go. And eventually they fall away. He's like, if you're going to grow, if you're going to grow up from a newborn infant, a new believer, a new convert, you're going to have to be in God's Word. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, it says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So he tells them, like, you need to humble yourself and become like a child. Right? Why? Children forgive each other very quickly. I watched my granddaughter when they were attending school here, and a little boy walked up and kicked the ball right in her face. And it was with that purple ball, that little soft one. I mean, they just kicked it and hit her right in the face. She's crying. She comes to Grandpa, I'm like, it's okay. And then one of the things they do is they make you address the person and tell them you're sorry and I won't do it again, right? Because that's really what repentance is you don't keep doing it again. You don't keep kicking the person in the face with the ball. And then they go right back to playing. That's what a child does. That's what forgiveness is. See, children can do that, right? Children actually will, you know, at a certain point listen to their parents. But you don't either listen to your father in heaven. But he's saying, like, you need to humble yourself and be like a child. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 says, But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. See, you're either mature or immature. You're either growing or you're not. And if you're not growing, you're immature in your faith. And so as Christians, one of the things that we are to be doing is as we feed the Word of God into our lives, we're led by the Spirit of God. And we begin to grow. And we understand the matters of the Holy Spirit a little bit better because we know the will of God for our lives. We yearn for food, right? We yearn for food today. But do you yearn for the bread of life? Do you yearn for the living waters? Like, do you come thirsty? Like, it's our natural thing that we, like, I can feed you breakfast and you'll be ready for dinner in about a couple hours. You're hungry, but are you that way with the Word of God? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus is actually quoting Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 45. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 45 through 47 says, and when Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of the law, all the words of this law, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. Now, if I had a Bible, I would tell you to highlight that all day long. For it is no empty word for you, but your very life. God's word is life. It's living. It's abiding. It's eternal. We just learned that back in 1 Peter chapter 1. Matter of fact, in those verses, as he talks about loving one another in 1 Peter chapter 1, he talks about the living and abiding Word of God. Who is the living and abiding Word of God? The Logos is Jesus Christ. And he's telling you it's your very life. But is it? Is it your very life? Do you hunger for it? And by this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. See, Peter is painting a clear picture that if you grasp the Word of God the way a baby grasps a bottle, you're going to grow. And eventually you're going to come off the bottle, just like your children do, and start walking and start eating solid food. And as Christians, this is what's supposed to happen in every Christian's life. You're supposed to be on the pure spiritual milk to a point, to a point. And then you're supposed to transition to solid food, and you're supposed to start walking. Now, you know, just like when you have a brand new baby, they get up and fall, get up and fall. With a new believer, that's the same way. You need to be patient with them. You need to be loving with them. As you're discipling them, you need to point them back to Jesus. Whose side are you on through all of it? Jesus' side, right? You point them back to Christ. As they get up and fall, there's grace for the journey, but they need to repent. And then they turn back to Christ. And you help them get back up and get moving again. But eventually that young infant who begins to walk, who becomes a young child, can run. And their appetite gets even stronger. And if you have a 7 or 8 year old like Joseph, his appetite is very strong. He's ready to eat, like he'll be ready to eat as soon as we walk out of here. He's already eaten 2 tacos and 8 breakfasts. He's going to be like his dad. His dad is 6'3". Big guy, has an appetite. We should be longing for the Word of God that same way. And what I mean by that is when we talk about the longing of growing, once you get on to solid food, this is discipleship. Do you understand this? Once you're on solid food and you're walking in obedience with God, you know what you're supposed to do? Help the young believer, the infant. That's your job. We're all called to disciple. And that's the challenge I ask for each of you today. It's like, who are you discipling and who's discipling you? You should have somebody that's discipling you in your life, and you should be discipling somebody. But if you're not walking with God, do not disciple anybody. Keep it to yourself. You need to be walking in obedience with God. But this is how we disciple. We get them onto solid food, and then that we take, as we teach that person, the next person teaches the next person. And then we just continue the cycle, and that's discipleship. So have you transitioned to solid food yet? Are you still looking on, or are you like 30-something years in faith and you still have a bottle in your mouth? That's what happens. We have a lot of immature Christians in the church today because they're not in the Word of God. They think they know the things of God, but they don't apply it in their lives. They don't apply what God's Word says individually for their life. They can argue theology, but that doesn't save you. Walking as Christ walked, being Christ-like, is what we've been called to do. And then the next thing we see is that you are to be longing for the Word and the things of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. I love that. Some of you may have in your Bibles, crave is another word. And when I was putting this together, I stopped on that word because I was like, man, I love that word, long. To intensely crave is what it means in the Greek. You pursue it because you love it. You long for it. You pursue it because you love it. You crave it. That's your appetite for the things of God and His Word. Do you pursue it because you love it? Because you love Him? Because you love His Word? Or are you pursuing the world? What are you longing for? The things of Christ or the things of the world? Do you long for the Word or the world? In Psalm 119, verse 81 and 82, Psalm 119, verses 81 and 82, it says, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? I love that. He's like, at the end of the day, my longing is, I have salvation with you. I have hope in your word. No matter what you're going through, no matter what storm that you're in life, you have in the darkest moments, you have the hope of the Word of God. And what happens with people is they tend to step away from God's Word when trials and tribulations happen. And I can tell you that's probably one of the worst things you can do. Be in God's Word. Be in worship. You know, we were just talking about Lee, who is prepping and has his toes on the edge of eternity, getting ready to go be with God. I'm like, y'all need to be preparing him for heaven. Y'all need to have worship music playing. Y'all need to be praying over him. Y'all need to be reading scriptures to him. Y'all need to be giving him a chance to repent. Y'all need to, whatever it is that y'all need to do, y'all need to do. But you're actually moving them and helping them worship God in one of the hardest moments of their lives and the family's life. But as they're on the edge of eternity, Matt, please, when you come visit me, when I'm on my deathbed, don't come in with all your problems. You need to be worshiping God and praying over me and giving me scripture like I've given you. Like, I don't want to hear, man, I couldn't find parking. I couldn't do it. It's like all this stuff, man. It's like you're there to lift that person up. You're not there to dump all your problems on them or turn the TV on and start watching TV. You're there to be with them because they won't be with you much longer. You enjoy that. You'll see them in eternity. You know where they're going. But you may live another 40 years, another 50 years. Who knows? So worship. Let them find hope in the Word in their most trying time. And they may tell you, man, I don't want to hear the Word. Okay. I'm going to pray silently because you can't stop me from doing that, bro. I can do that on my heart. You can sit there all salty and I'll just pray. You pray for them. But remember, as I was reminding Kirk, you can't pour out unless you're filled up. Okay? You can't pour out unless you're filled up. So you have to take moments for yourself, just you and God, to get filled up so you can pour back out. I can't do this as a pastor without taking a step back at times and letting the Lord speak to me and move in my heart and show me things that needs to be worked on, and I need to be filled back up at times. I come thirsty every time. And that's what rest will do. Rest gives you that. We talked about the busyness of life, and when you're busy, so busy to the point where you ain't got time for things, what happens is you start neglecting and allowing things that shouldn't be idled on idle, like the Word of God, like prayer, like fellowship. Well, we haven't been to church in 3 weeks. That's okay. We got this thing, and we got to get it done today, and we got all this business. And it's like, you need to stop, and you need to take a break. Take a step back and don't put the things of God on idle. If you longed for them, you craved them, you would crave no different than a pregnant woman craves, right? That's what that word longing means, or to long. Lena's craving baked potatoes right now. And they're weird because she wants baked potatoes the way that I used to eat them. And I'm probably going to gross everybody out, which is I put baked potato with bacon and cheese and sour cream and butter, and then on top of that I put my salad, and then I chop my boiled eggs on it. It looks like a salad on top of a potato. It's so good. They used to eat that way when we were kids, and at Ruby Tuesdays, that place went out of business. That's why. But she's craving them. I mean, she's absolutely craving them, longing for them. And if you think about that longing, during her pregnancy, she's longing for that baked potato, but she's longing to the point where she'll put herself in the car because she wants that baked potato. She's longing to the point where she'll go in traffic in San Antonio because she wants that baked potato. She's longing to the point where she'll go in the busiest time of HEB because she wants that baked potato. And then she longs for it so badly, she puts it in the oven and waits 45 minutes to an hour because it can't be microwaved. It doesn't taste the same. That's the type of longing we should have for the Word of God. We'll move heaven and earth to be in it because we want to hear from the Lord. Do you have that longing today? Are you longing the things of the world? 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Do we long for the things of Christ, or are we longing for the things of the world? Are we longing for the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh? Are we longing and having pride of life in our daily life because we long for the things of the world? Sadly, many churches are longing for the things of the world today. And you see, one of the things I was looking at this past week is we see different situations that are happening throughout churches, and what they do is they long for the crowd. They long to entertain. They long to be popular, to be a celebrity. And I've talked to y'all about this before, and y'all know that it's happened, and sadly, one of the things that we know is, you know, when you think about James Rivers Church and the men's conference that went on, they longed to entertain. They longed to have monster trucks. What that has to do with the Bible, I have no idea. They longed to have a boxing match. And then they longed to have an ex-male stripper on a pole doing a dance, even though he's a believer. Probably not the best way to have him. Just have him share his testimony, right? And then here's the problem. John Lindell, the pastor of the church, went and did a 40-minute rebuke that Tuesday on Mark Driscoll. I don't really have skin in the game, don't care. Somebody at the church should have waved the red flag long before Mark Driscoll waved the red flag. And sadly, what we saw happen is he rebuked Mark Driscoll for 40 minutes. Now, public rebuke, I don't have an issue with if you're doing it, but I have an issue with it when you have pride of life and you lust for the flesh, because what he did is he went and advertised it. So he went on YouTube and he paid for advertisement of the public rebuke. He's longing for the things of the world. This is a man of God, a pastor. So it tells you even pastors make mistakes. I want you to understand something. When we strive to do things that go against the Word of God, and we try to come up with these church programs and this entertainment stuff, listen to what Pastor Chuck Smith said about this. He says, striving to gain doesn't just mean buying into the latest church growth program to come down the line. It also happened in the hyped-up spiritual environment where church growth is created by the spiritual and emotional excitement and the hyping of the gifts of the Spirit. Again, you've got a very difficult kind of situation, because if you use the spiritual hype to attract and draw your crowd, you've started down a one-way street that only gets more difficult as you go. So if you do a 70s week or an 80s week for your children's ministry, what are you going to do the next week? You're going down a one-way street. Just teach them the Word of God. It's kids' church, right? And so you see, if you appeal to people through their supernatural and spectacular, and if that's a big forte, then you have to continue together for more exotic spiritual experience to hold the crowd that you have drawn through this kind of phenomenon. And so he's telling you that you cannot continue to keep doing this. And the church does this, and they start longing for the things of the world, the church programs, and they start craving these things, and it ruins because you're on a one-way street. What are you going to do next week? You brought in monster trucks. What's next? You going to launch a rocket or what? I mean, how do you just teach them the Word of God? Just teach them the Word of God. I understand you got VBS and all that, but how do you do that if you keep doing that hype every week? What does VBS become? You do a circus VBS, you have to bring in real lions? Or, man, what are you going to do? You can't keep doing that. So we have to remember, as we crave, not only in our personal life, the church can crave the wrong things too. That's why the Word of God is the emphasis for Calvary Chapel. We teach the Word. That's it. You go, well, man, I don't get the beautiful entertainment and all the... We teach the Word. It's about God. It ain't about us. And church has gotten away from that. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We should, and I love Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for you, God. We should, as that deer is in the desert, panting, desiring water. All he wants is God. All she wants is God. That's it. I just want your word. I just want to be with you. I'm caught up in your presence. What else do you need?
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.